for me, I don't think that I could sit still and not sing and perform in some way. It's just who I am, and it's just in my blood, and it just kind of comes out even more in times of crisis.
I am on the prowl indeed. Welcome to Podcats. This is Cats, John Katzlamitas of the Las Vegas Review Journal. My column is called Cats, fittingly enough. Find it on page 3A every day and online all the time. My guest this week is a former member of the Las Vegas cast of Jersey Boys, Travis Clore. Travis performed in the show from 2008 at Palazzo Theatre through its closing at Paris Las Vegas in September of 2016. Travis has been active on social media, especially on Facebook, during the coronavirus outbreak. He has launched a series of performances called Quarantunes on his Facebook page. He has also reunited with his Las Vegas Jersey Boys castmates, Eric Bergen, Devin May, and Jeff Lebo, for an online performance of Sherry, which is on Facebook and also on Travis's YouTube page. And Travis and his family also colored the driveway of their Las Vegas home with colored chalk. Their time-lapse video of the project is a show of love and support for our city. All right, folks, this is Podcats with the great Travis Clore. I'm smiling here, Travis, because we've done so many interviews over the years.
Yeah, so, man, good to be back.
It's good to be back. We've never quite had this environment before, but we'll just cut right to it. How are you and how are your family holding up during the current climate?
We're doing great, man. We are we're hanging in there. We are homeschooling and trying to figure out ways to keep everyone entertained.
How's homeschooling working out?
It's all right, man. It's it's something that I never thought that I would do. That's for sure. But mm-hmm. It's great. Our kids' school, they provide like daily curriculum for them to do. So we get up in the morning. We try to make the routine as normal as possible. You know, have breakfast, get ready for school, and a lot of times we're doing it in our PJs. But that's all good. But then we just, we do a couple hours of schooling with the kids, and then later in the afternoon, they all hop on Zoom and do like a virtual classroom with their teacher and the other students so they can, just check in and see their friends and play games and all that stuff. So
it's you have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, right? Andy and Rowan?
Actually, an 8-year-old now and a 5-year-old.
Andy's birthday has come.
Had a birthday on the 6th. Yeah, a couple days ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. All right. All right. Yeah. Well, and you guys, I mean, when I met you guys in Las Vegas, it was before either of your children were born. And
that's
you
right.
just opened in Jersey Boys.
Yeah, man. Back in Palazzo, the day. The good old days.
That's right. In so many ways. You guys, we had written about your family and covered the driveway project that you and Jennifer, your wife, and the kids had taken part in over about a 3-hour period or so over 2 days.
Yeah, we went out with the sidewalk chalk and just colored all the bricks that were out there and left a little message for the neighborhood to stay strong and carry on, and we'll get through it.
Is that you finished that up on March 28th? Has it been washed away?
No, man, because we thought we were going to have some rain here the last couple of days, but it's avoided us. So, I mean, it's faded a little bit, but it's still there going strong.
Stay safe with love is the message at the bottom.
Yeah, man.
It's a great, folks, you can find that coverage of that on the Cats landing page, but it's a great story. It got a lot of response.
Yeah, it was really cool.
The time-lapse video.
Unexpected response, but it was fun. It was fun to do, and glad people like it.
Yeah, and most recently you put together and reassembled the some of the original cast of Jersey Boys, and it's dating to its days at the Palazzo Theater. It was you, Devin May, Jeff Lebo, and Eric Bergen.
Yep.
When was the last time you guys had all worked together?
I would say probably 2009, 2010, Eric was the first one of us to separate. And we've all stayed in touch since then, but we haven't done anything together. So it was fun.
Yeah, look, it sounded great. It was very nostalgic. And that's another thing, another clip you can find on Travis's YouTube page and also on his, on Facebook. You've been, Travis, I've been writing about you quite a bit since this all happened, since we've been in a kind of, since everybody's been sidelined. Yeah. About your Quarantunes series, and you've really taken that seriously and done some really great work on it. Describe the vision of that and how that all came about.
Well, I was you know, looking online just like everybody else is right now, and because we're all stuck at home, and you know, there's a lot of people, you know, using that name Quarantunes just because it's catchy, you know. And so I thought, you know what, I'll do my own, and so. I started out one day, I was just like, this was like right when this, when we first, you know, got the stay at home warnings and all that stuff. And I was just trying to like cope with it myself. And when I try to cope with heavy things, you know, I'm automatically, music is my first route, you know, the first thing I go to. And being the son of a Baptist music minister, when times are tough, I almost always go to old hymns that I used to sing in church with my dad. And so the first song that I did in this thing was How Great Thou Art, the old, you know, standard hymn. And I put it online. It was just me and the guitar here in my office. And it got such great response. I was like, well, you know what, let's do another one. So I did another one the next day, just me and the guitar. And it just, I was like, you know what, well, I'll just keep putting stuff out there, you know, for people to enjoy. It's a great thing for, like I said, people to enjoy and get their mind off of some of the craziness, but it's also a way for me to express myself as well and to, you know, keep my chops up. So it's, I've been really, really pleased and surprised with the response that people are giving me and the messages that I'm getting from people about it. And, just makes me want to keep going.
Yeah. And you've done some, the one that really, caught my attention, especially was the Beach Boys song.
Don't Worry, Baby.
Don't Worry, Baby. Don't Worry, Baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're singing all the parts, and you're shown in specific and separate squares on the video.
Yeah, that song's always that's my favorite Beach Boys tune. It's just it's just great. Everything about it's great. And then, you know, again, I was thinking about, you know, trying to do some songs that have like a message at this time, and Don't Worry Baby just popped right into my head. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I recorded, you know, me playing the guitar, and then I recorded me singing each of the different three-part backing vocals. And then I recorded the lead vocal, and I don't know, it's fun. I love harmonizing, and then you get to harmonize with yourself. There's something about self-harmonies that just, they're tight, you know what I mean? Because it's your own voice on top of itself, knowing all the nuances and knowing when you're going to breathe and how you're going to phrase things and vowel pronunciation. And it just, it has a way of getting tight that singing with other people just doesn't have quite, you know what I mean? It's just a lot of fun to do. And I love harmonizing and then doing it with myself. It's what I'm doing now in quarantine, self-harmonizing.
You set up, where are you recording the video and audio?
I'm doing it a couple different ways. Some of the times I'm singing, you know, live directly into my phone and stuff here in my studio/office. A couple of them I've laid down tracks, you know, in my computer and then lip sync to them over the video, so it sounds a little cleaner. So, but I'm bouncing back and forth between, you know, between the two methods.
You put up a post the other day, I'm actually trying to find it on my phone, about it, the Travis Clower Quarantunes tour. Is that still up? Are you going to adhere to that?
It's on my Instagram page. I know that.
Okay.
I think, what's today, the 9th?
Yeah.
Today's the 9th as we speak. And so I think that today's show is happening from the driveway, possibly. I don't know.
Let me see. I'm going to find this. Okay, here we go.
I think it's the last stop on the tour tonight, actually.
Oh, no. No, the last stop will have occurred as we listen to this now. On Thursday, folks, it was from the bedroom, according to my intel.
Yes.
According to my people in the streets. And April
10th. That was the Santi show.
This is the April 10th is the driveway, was to be the driveway performance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I should have done one from the rooftop like the Beatles.
You could still add, right?
Yeah.
That'd be a great way to end the movie, as they say.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I've talked and talking to a lot of our friends in Las Vegas entertainment, Travis, everybody seems to have their own way of coping with this, but you know, most of them have some form of creating art inside. And some have not. Some have decided they're not really ready to do anything from their homes. You know, I recently, you know, the other day I wrote a column about the Tape Face, the headliner at Harris, who says, you know, I'm not there yet. I can't, you know, mentally get into
that.
It. Yeah. And where do you fall on that? How important is it for you to be able to have that opportunity? And can you imagine yourself taking a break from it?
Well, first off, you know, everybody has their own path. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with anyone, not just in the arts, but anybody just taking this time of, of uncertainty to just sit and be still and digest and let this kind of marinate and, you know, try to just deal with it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, I do plenty of that. That's why I'm not doing, you know, these things every day, because I just need some time to just, you know, feel what's going on in the world and to sit with my family and experience this great quality time that I probably wouldn't have had during these next couple months, you know, to be able to sit at home 24 hours with my kids and my wife and my dogs. It's great. But I don't think that I could sit still and not sing and perform in some way. It's just who I am, and it's just in my blood, and it comes out even more in times of crisis, you know.
Right.
It just manifests itself in a different way. So, you know, I know a lot of people are doing live streams. I've thought about that, and I'm still open to it. I don't have anything planned, but I'm getting a kick out of doing what I'm doing. You know, it kind of goes along with what you were talking about a little while ago, about how or maybe this was before we get on the air, how we're learning different things right now. We've got this time of to just sit by ourselves and learn a new thing on the computer or technology, or learn how to play an instrument or learn a foreign language. For me, I'm, you know, sitting at my computer and learning different ways to record and different songs to play that may have never been in my repertoire, or I always thought were too complicated to play, or figure out a cool arrangement of some song that no one would have ever thought would have been done just acoustically or something like that. So for me, you know, I've got to go that route. That's just who I am. But again, I mean, I've talked to a couple of artists that were like, you know, I just don't have it in me. And I've said, man, there's nothing wrong with that. You take care of yourself first and foremost.
Exactly. There's no uniformed way to do it. You know, when this all started, I had kind of anticipated that we'd have everybody I know jumping online. And there has been an influx of folks doing web-based performances, but there have been a few that have said exactly what you're saying. But the fact that we have been forced to learn different ways to communicate is really one of the more prominent components of this whole experience. You know, I think that the term I heard for those of us, a lot of us, is called baby zoomers, and they're like baby boomers in that general demographic who have been forced to learn how to do Zoom and do Instagram Live and some of the other the platform we're on now. So I guess that is a positive thing. But you and Jennifer are showbiz family. You know, Jennifer herself is a performer. I think I met Jen when she was in Peep Show at the time.
Yeah, before that, she was, you know, in the, she did Sirens for a little while over at TI, and then she
might have been then too. Yeah, when they had the Sirens program, a great dancer, great performer herself. And yeah. You guys have been through a lot just in the last calendar year with her becoming a U.S. citizen.
Yeah,
that has been factored in all this.
Man, so did we get that in at the nick of time? Holy cow.
I know. Tell me about how that worked out, because that was just before we had heard of anything about the coronavirus. But she was, you guys were in a very important moment in your lives without all this.
She's a Canadian citizen. She's from Toronto, just outside of Toronto. And we got married, you know, almost a little over 12 years ago, I guess now. So for a while we've been talking about, you know, we got to get your citizenship. We got to get it done. And it was coming up on the time frame that you have to get it done, or else, you know, you're screwed and you kind of got to start over or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, so she took the test and she went down and she got sworn in, and we all went down there as a family together. And, it was actually really cool. We were sitting in the ceremony waiting for, the judge to come in and start it all up. And, one of the people that were helping there, asked the room if anybody could sing. And of course, Jen, you know, totally singled me out. So I got called up in the ceremony before the judge came in, and this guy was like, "So what are you singing? You know, sing something for us." So I was like, "Well, I guess I got to keep it with the theme." So I was standing up there in front of, it was probably 60 people being sworn in as United States citizens from all over the world. And I sang a little bit of, America the Beautiful, and man, it was moving. I started getting choked up, and it was just something really cool to be a part of.
How interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then, you know, she got sworn in, and then I don't know, a month later or so, the world kind of came to a halt. So I'm really glad we got that in before all this stuff happened.
And how has this affected the way you guys just live and interact with each other? Because you know, you're both busy people, and independently, you kind of independently have careers, of course, before all this happens. What's it like to be inside around each other all the time?
You know, a lot of it isn't much different from how we were living, other than, you know, going to school or going to the dance studio or the grocery store or things like that. First of all, we're homebodies. You know, we love being at home. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not on the road, you know, I'm not really doing much in town right now. So for the last, I don't know, little while, when I'm at home, I'm just hanging out at home and helping out and trying to, you know, stay creative and get things moving. But we're doing a lot still to try to keep our schedule as normal, quote unquote, as possible. You know, she's still doing dance classes. She's a dance teacher as well. And she's doing dance classes online with my daughter. And yesterday we started online gymnastics classes with my son. And so we're coping, you know, we love each other. And don't get me wrong, though, there's times where we're like, you know what, I need to go upstairs by myself for a while. You guys just go away for a bit, or I'm going to go for a walk with the dogs by myself or whatever. But, you know, we're coping, and we're making it happen.
I've been in contact, and I know you have too, with one of our common friends who's done a lot of work in Las Vegas philanthropically and artistically, and that's Mark Chinook. And I'm helping him as part of the steering committee for his the telethon that he's got planned. And I believe you're part of this lineup of folks who are going to be assembling in a couple of weeks. Tell me about your participation. We could talk a little bit about that, because that's going to be a big deal for local entertainers.
Yeah, it's still kind of like in its you know, phases of trying to figure out exactly what it's going to be, but he's asked me to be a part of it for sure. So I'll either, you know, be doing a number, live streaming in from here at home. Not sure what I'm going to do yet, but, a little bit of time to figure that out. But yeah,
that will be live, huh?
Yeah. Anything Mark does, I'm always there for it. You know, I had a date booked at the Space on May 15th, sing all the songs for my new record. But, you know, then the world fell apart. And so anything Mark does, you know, he's a good buddy of mine. And I'm always there to help them out.
Yeah, it's going to benefit. I've got some recent, some pretty new info about that. It's going to benefit the Actors Fund, and it's going to be streaming in a partnership with the VSIN. And I think the target date is April 27th for the actual performance.
Yeah,
beginning at 5 p.m. And yeah, you've been a part of Monday's Dark since its inception.
Yeah,
I think you probably made more appearances than anybody but the core band. You know, Kenny Davidson and those guys.
Yeah, so I was his first guest, his first musical guest way back when it first started out. And
back at the Hard Rock.
Yeah, I love the guy, and I love what he does, and I love helping him out. So
let's talk about the album. I've heard it. I heard that we went to the listening party over at Notoriety.
Yeah, yeah.
You worked with Frankie Marino and Tony and his brother Tony on a lot of the writing of the album. Describe the vibe of this release.
Yeah, the record's kind of, I call it feel-good throwback music, because it's kind of got a 60s pop rock vibe to it, you know, with some influences from Motown and, of course, the Four Seasons. And, you know, when I sat with Frankie and Tony, we were talking about what I wanted to go for, that's exactly what I, you know, told them. I was like, I want it to sound like... I wanted to have that throwback feel, but not in a cheesy way. And that's exactly what we accomplished, man. It's 10 original tunes written by me, some written by them, some written by us together. And it's just fun, man. It's a toe-tapping, great, feel-good, turn the volume up, have a good time record. I love it, and I couldn't be more proud of it.
Mm-hmm. It is that. Yeah, it hooks you right in. It's called Here's Travis Clover.
Yeah. It's kind of a debut thing, you know, of me as an original artist singing original music. So,
yeah, but still with that kind of familiar, your familiar underpinnings to it.
Yeah,
exactly. So, what's next for you? And I know it's tough to talk about the future, but what are you going to be doing to keep yourself artistically fulfilled and personally, you know, calibrated, balanced during this whole thing?
Well, right now, my May was a bit wide open anyway before this whole thing happened. I was going to take a little bit of time to just be at home and hang out before, you know, some summer dates really kicked in. So luckily, I've definitely lost some gigs, but not too many where I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Unless, of course, this just keeps going on into the summer and then I'll have to reassess. But right now, I don't have anything that has been canceled until sometime in June. So fingers crossed, knock on wood, we can make some things happen by then. But I'm involved with a few other things around town. My buddy Mark Messina asked me to be a part of the Children's Heart Foundation, their drive that's helping send birthday wishes to kids that are stuck at home. You know, he reached out and he said, you know, I'm doing this thing and I'd love to have you involved since kids can't go out and have their birthday parties. I teamed up with the Children's Heart Foundation to bring some of the entertainment to them via FaceTime or Zoom. And so I've got some things lined up to help out with him to get online and sing some songs that have been requested by some of the birthday people. And I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a great idea.
Kids' faces, yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it. That's a great idea. That's a very great
it's really
idea.
I'll send you the information. You should check it out. It's a really
There've been a lot of you know, this is another thing that's happened in this whole thing, as you know, is that you come up with a lot of inventive ideas for initiatives to do online, and you know, there's some things that we've been talking about in our company, and one of them is to contact folks, and I can talk to you now and offline about it too, about reading from or reading full children's books and posting them on our hosted series.
Oh, that's cool, man.
On our website. Yeah, so if you
that's
have
really cool.
If you have green eggs and ham hanging around anywhere,
I love
where
that.
The wild things are or whatever, and just reading and we, you know, set up a whole series, and it could be, you know, my idea was, you know, make it to entertainers who you know, we know about, but it could be anybody. It could be you know, all the folks we know about in the community. But that's another way for us to you know, kind of stitch together our community. I'll let you know.
You know, speaking of, you know, like the community, it's great to see, you know, even though we're all you know, so physically separated right now. I feel like there were more emotionally and mentally connected, I think, than we have been in a very long time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. really cool to see the great things that are coming out of this. You know, the people that are writing great music, and like my buddy Keith Thompson is putting together an original tune that he wrote. And he's reached out to myself and some other entertainers in town to, you know, video themselves singing it. And he's putting together this great little montage, and it's a beautiful song, man. It's a great, great song. You should talk to him about that too.
Yeah, I'm actually, oddly enough, I was just talking to Keith before you and I got on, and I've done a spoken word message on that project.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm actually involved in it. I can't remember the name of the song now. It's a ballad.
Needing each other.
Needing each other. That's right.
Yeah.
And you're on this, and there's a whole bunch of contributing artists, a lot of them, like a whole host
Yeah,
of
Keith,
folks.
Keith is another one of those guys. You know, he's got so many ties in town, and he's so well-loved, and he's just one of those guys, you know, that when he asks you to do something, you're like, yeah, let's do it. Why mm-hmm. not?
Well, he always does something. He's, you know, the thing about Keith is he's always early to the party. You know, he gets in there quick, and then he's so prolific that he gets his thing done. He follows through precisely. Yep. And it doesn't surprise me one bit that that he took the lead on something like this. And there's some ideas too to come out of the cabaret jazz, and with him involved. That's another idea we were talking about kicking around is doing a hosted composer showcase online.
Oh, that'd be fun, man.
You know, Keith and I co-partner in it, and him be the host and us be the host platform. And then, you know, then you'd have a way to promote your album, you know, mm-hmm. and sing original music, just like the composer showcase was set up. Which was originally, you know, kind of a bare bones operation to begin with. The current mm-hmm. version of the Composer Showcase is very advanced compared to how it started. But, you know, there's that idea too, you know.
And,
I guess Travis Clore can find he's going to be hit up a lot to do these things.
You know, it's very flattering that people, you know, think of me and want me to be a part of things and reach out to me. And I try to, you know, just be one of those guys that can help out as much as I can whenever I can, you know?
Mm-hmm. You have become that over the years, Travis. You've become one of the definite must go-to guys when anything like this goes on, whether it's Monday's Dark or whether it's, you know, the thing that Keith is doing or ideas that I have, you know, Travis Clore is right there. And, I think it speaks to your versatility and your willingness to contribute and your talent. You know,
I appreciate that.
You know, really, I mean, you're one of the most talented people I've ever seen here. I was talking to Frankie, you know, at the Notoriety event, and I hadn't heard the album yet. And mm-hmm. he says, wait till you hear Travis sing on this thing, because it's unbelievable, because your hair will stand up.
Well, a lot of that was him and Tony, you know, pulling things out of me in the studio. You know, mm-hmm. we messed around with the idea of, you know, them laying all the tracks down, and then I could have recorded stuff at home. But he was like, you know, let's do all the vocals here so we can, you know, really make this thing pop and pull some things out of you, and maybe help think of approaching things differently that you might not have thought of on your own. So
yeah,
it's one of those situations, you know, where more cooks in the kitchen sometimes is a little bit better, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's an idea machine too. And you know, he's obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've talked about this before also, but one of my favorite photos and one of my favorite nights ever was when you guys were on stage at Rush Lounge at the Golden Nugget with you. It was you and Frankie and Earl and Clint.
Yeah.
And all together singing. And there's a shot of that we threw into a black and white filter that is so great. Of you guys all together.
I need to get that blown up and like stuck on the wall somewhere.
That should be part of our montage. But I'm looking forward to reassembling that night when this is all over with. I would love to have that happen again.
Man, there's going to be an influx of those nights, I think, when we're allowed to like be around each other again.
Boy, you're not kidding. I mean, it's getting, I think we're all going to be like racehorses ready to you know, in the stalls, ready to run again. But always, Travis, it's great to talk to you. Is there anything else going on with you that we want to spot check and name check?
I don't think so, man. Just, you know, we already talked about the quarantines thing, and I'm getting all those up on YouTube right now, so I'll send you all those on there. Yeah.
Those aren't on YouTube yet. Yeah.
Okay. I've got, I think, 6 of them up now, and the other ones are uploading as we speak.
Okay.
So, that's about it, I think, man. You know, I know that Jeannie would love, Jeannie listened and loved your interview with Myron about what's going on over there at Cab Jazz and stuff.
And, okay. Jeannie Bavaro.
Yeah. Yeah. She wants to throw some ideas your way about us gig workers, man.
So. I know. We're talking about that. How gig workers? Have you applied for assistance? Are you one of the 1099 people who have?
I am 1099, and I have been calling forever, and I finally got through and was on hold to speak with someone and got disconnected. So that was fun.
Oh, geez, how long were you on hold?
For quite a while. I finished a good bit of a puzzle while I was waiting.
Oh God, I hear these stories, man.
This is important though, because my wife got a call back. Jen got a call back, and the guy told her that in Nevada the system is not set up yet for 1099 workers, so he couldn't do anything for her. And he said it was probably going to be somewhere around 3 weeks until that stuff gets updated and where they're able to process things. So he said I wouldn't even try calling back for another 3 weeks.
Jesus, 3 weeks. Okay. They don't have the link on the website either, as I understand.
Well, they have, you know, a lot of information about the coronavirus situation, and you can start a claim, and there's like two buttons. One that asked me if I was self-employed, one that asked me if I was filing because of the situation. But other than that, there was nothing. But I started the claim, but, you know, like I said, they said it's not up and running yet, so.
Okay. Well, you both apply, right?
Yeah. We're both 1099, you know, self-employed, and so hopefully things will catch up, and we'll be able to take advantage of it. It's great that they're doing that now, you know.
Oh man. Well, considering, you know, I've been learning a lot about this, talking to a lot of our common friends about this process. It's never been offered before, ever.
No.
Contracted workers, and they're fortunate, even with all the snags and, you know, all the gymnastics you have to go through. 1099 workers haven't had to pay into the program, haven't had to pay into unemployment insurance, as you know, being one.
Right.
So, hey, you know, that's a very, I'm happy to hear that. And it's finally good. It's good that somebody's finally understanding the world you live in, but
yeah, absolutely. You know,
I hope we never, speaking for the collective, I hope we never have to see this kind of thing happen again, once we do get out of it, you know.
You are not kidding.
But save all those quarantines clips and the driveway and the Jersey Boys reunion, because they're going to be in a museum.
You know? I know, man. I know. Well, I'm gonna keep the quarantines coming, and I try to do maybe 2 a week. I don't want to, you know, over flood the market with it, you know. I enjoy making people happy, but I'm looking at maybe, you know, 2 a week or something like that. So
yeah, I get it. All right, Travis Kohler, well, when quarantines is coming, you know, hit me up so I can be ready for them, and we'll see you. We'll be in conversation about the telethon and everything else that's going on in Las Vegas. You're right there with us, and
all right,
appreciate,
man,
your time as always.
You bet. Thanks, buddy. Stay safe.
Thanks once more to Travis Kohler for joining us this week on Podcats. Make sure you don't miss next Monday's guest by clicking subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening to this episode. What is happening in the column, you might be asking yourselves? Well, as mentioned in the broadcast, the Monday's Dark Performer Fun Telethon is set for April 27th. The show is hosted by The Space and Mark Chinook. It runs from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the Space website and also the VSIN Sirius XM Channel 204. That's VSIN Sirius XM Channel 204 is where you can find this. Many Las Vegas entertainers, including Clore, Brad Garrett, Debbie Gibson, and John D. Domenico, are to be featured in the 6-hour event.
Keep checking back in Cats for updates. Lorena Peril of Fantasy and her husband, Ray John Narbites, are driving the streets of Las Vegas and performing. Lorena is singing, Ray John has the backing tracks in his truck, and it all happens in the middle of the street. Read about that in Cats. We have an update on MGM Resorts International's strategy for how its hotels will reopen during the pandemic. Think of this as a measured process, not all at once. Cirque du Soleil continues with its Cirque Connect online series of performance highlights. Ka and O have been featured in the ongoing campaign. That site is updated on noon Wednesdays and is loaded for all kinds of Cirque du Soleil stuff. Human Nature reunited for a version of All You Need Is Love on the band's Facebook page. Human Nature's tour, meanwhile, of Australia in July and August is still alive for now. Frankie Moreno released the song Livin' Lazy during a Facebook show on Thursday night on his fan page. By Friday morning, that song was number 3 on Billboard's reggae charts. The money he has raised is going to the fight against COVID-19. And check on Murray Sawchuk's YouTube and Facebook activity. There's a lot there. He's been busy on both those platforms before COVID-19 and has been working steadily even as his show at Laugh Factory at Tropicana has gone dark. Sawchuk also appears as a side act in Fantasy and is joined on his web post by his girlfriend, Danny Elizabeth of Crazy Girls, and his onstage sidekick, Doug Lefty Lefarovich. For all that and more, read Cats. That closes out another episode of Podcats. Thank you, Frankie Moreno, for our theme song, The Biggest Cat in Town. Keep up with me, or try to, on the Review Journal website or at Johnny Cats on Twitter, at JohnnyCats1 on Instagram, and tune in next Monday to the next installment of Podcats. And I'm the biggest cat in town.